This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with NewsWest for Sunday the 7th of August 2022. NewsWest today is all about contesting, and a fair amount of our time is devoted to preparing for next week's Remembrance Day contest, but there is more. The studio team this week is Roy, VK6XV, Andrew, VK6AS. We welcome back Mike, VK6KMS, from his COVID retreat. And joining us this week is Chris, VK3 Quebec Bravo. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the NewsWest producer. And we have two silent key tributes this week. I think it's the first time we've had two together. So let's go to those now.
With regret, it is announced that John Dilks, VK6CJW, also M0CJW, is now a silent key. He died on the 29th of July, aged 86, and will be much missed on the air by his friends worldwide. John was a character in the very best of amateur radio tradition. He divided his time until recently between Perth in Western Australia and his UK home near Newark. In his younger days, for example, he took his whole family in a battered old van overland through Europe, the Eastern Bloc countries when travel was very difficult, through the Middle East, India, Sri Lanka and beyond. He was involved in many enterprises and international interests and even politics. He would regale his adventures to amateur clubs and others when invited to do so. He was to be found on HF almost daily with VK when conditions allowed and on repeaters locally. He was also to be found at many radio rallies in the UK with a keen following. John was a good, dependable and loyal friend to many, always happy to help and encourage, swap yarns and pass on his own tips. He'll be very much missed. Our condolences to his family and friends. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Our second silent key notice is for Jeff, VK6 Zulu Yankee, and it's in two parts. And the first part comes from the Hills Amateur Radio Group, who say that it is with deep regret that they advise that Jeff, VK6ZY, passed away on Monday, the 1st of August this year. Jeffo was one of the ancients of amateur radio, having gained his license back in the days of exams consisting of essays. And to access the HF bands, the need to pass Morse code at 10 words per minute. He had an absence from our hobby for several years, but a while ago rejoined the hobby and joined the Hills Amateur Radio Group. He enjoyed coming up the hill on Saturday afternoons to rag chew with his fellow members. While Jeffo lived with significant health issues, he continued to actively engage in our hobby, experimenting with antennas in the limited space he had available at his home. In the past, he had been a paper chaser and was proud of his QSL card collection from around the world and the various certificates he had earned during his time as an amateur. He had gained a renewed interest in Morse code and was a member of several international clubs, including the Straight Key Century Club, the Long Island CW Club and the North American QRP CW Association. The members of the Hills Amateur Radio Group express our sincere condolences to Jeff's wife, Editha. Members will be advised when the funeral arrangements for Jeff have been published. And the second lot comes from Paul, VK6, Echo Bravo Fox. Paul says that Jeff was born in the eastern states and in his early life he trained as a barber. Then he was conscripted into the army and afterwards he worked as an ambulance driver. And Paul says he met Jeff 17 years ago, where they both worked as security officers at Perth Airport. Jeff encouraged Paul to reactivate his license and they've had many QSOs on VHF since. And after retirement, Jeff was an avid sim pilot, flying many missions whilst in his shack and monitoring the radio. Jeff's love has always been HF, and he's had a lifelong passion for Morse code. Jeff leaves behind the love of his life, his wife, Editha, and a son. So Vale, Jeff, Jeffo, VK6 Zulu Yankee, now silent key. This was received after I recorded the tribute to Jeff, and the Hills Group has asked us to advise you that the following club sent through their condolences on Jeff's passing. First is from Steve Whiskey Bravo 4, Oscar Mike Mike of the North American CQ QRP Club, and Howard Whiskey Bravo 2, United Zulu Echo of the Long Island CW Club. And thanks very much to those people for expressing condolences about Jeff.
Hi, this is Maria, VK5 Mike Alpha Zulu, contest manager for ALARA. The 42nd ALARA contest will be held on the last weekend of August, from Saturday the 27th to Sunday the 28th. Starting time is 0600 UTC, finishing 24 hours later at 0559 UTC. The ALARA contest is a lot of fun and open to all YLs and OMs. Although we are slightly competitive, we do help each other by giving out numbers and spotting each other on Facebook. Some of the girls even practice CW together in the months before the contest. We look forward to chatting with those we don't usually meet on air. All YLs and OMs are invited to take part, and it is hoped that YLs in particular will enjoy this friendly contest. It is not necessarily about making the highest score, but to enjoy a chat with those that we don't usually meet on air. We would also love to hear some young and new YLs joining in this year, as well as scouts and girl guides. Some of the committee will be handing out numbers on HF and Echo Link during the contest. The contest rules have now been uploaded to the ALARA contest page. For those who don't have Facebook and would like a copy of the rules, please email alaracontest@wia.org.au. 73 for now, Maria, VK5, MAZ.
Thanks, Maria. And if you thought that recording sounded familiar, we played it on our last contesting edition on the 10th of July. But more importantly, you can meet Maria and her husband Paul, VK5PAS, when they come to Perth Tech for a presentation. So don't forget to come along to Perth Tech to meet them.
Coming up soon, in fact, the weekend after the RD contest, is the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. ILLW for short. This amateur radio event has many of the hallmarks of a contest. However, it's not a contest. Although a station may keep score, it's not a competitive event. The idea is for stations to be established at or next to lighthouses, with the relevant permissions, of course, and off they go. The idea started in 1993 during a wet, wintry evening when two members of the Air Amateur Radio Group in Scotland, after a club meeting, were talking about creating an event in the summer when club members could get out on a sunny weekend and play radio. Various themes were considered: ports, airports, historic Scotland sites, the firths of Scotland, castles, etc. But it was finally decided that lighthouses of Scotland would be ideal. Following research, it was discovered that the lighthouses of Scotland were controlled by the Northern Lighthouse Board in Edinburgh, who were not only responsible for the lighthouses of Scotland, but also around the Isle of Man. Approval was sought and obtained from the Northern Lighthouse Board to establish amateur radio stations adjacent to their property. In February 1993, an invitation was sent to all Scottish clubs and the Isle of Man Club to join in the fun of a weekend to be called the Northern Lighthouse Activity Weekend by establishing an amateur radio station at a lighthouse during the third weekend in August. This first year's event proved very popular, and the rest, as they say, is history. There's a website containing everything you need to know, including a list of lighthouses worldwide by country, a registration form, and a list of those stations already registered. The website address is illw.net. That's India Lima Lima Whiskey.net. The date of the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend is the 20th to the 21st of August. So please listen out around the bands and answer any CQ calls that you hear.
The Remembrance Day contest is next weekend. It snuck up on us, didn't it? Are you ready for it? This contest commemorates the amateurs who died during World War II, and it's designed to encourage friendly participation and to help improve the operating skills of the participants. That's you. It's held on the weekend closest to the 15th of August, the date on which hostilities ceased in the Southwest Pacific area. The Remembrance Day Contest, or RD Contest for short, is an Australian contest, and its slower, friendly style is perfect for newcomers to contesting. The RD Contest starts at 0300 hours UTC on Saturday the 13th of August and runs for 24 hours. Please note, however, that you do not have to complete the whole 24 hours. You can still work the contest for shorter hours. You can work the contest for as many or as few hours as you wish, and that can include several sessions within the 24-hour time frame. It doesn't have to be continuous. The rules for the Remembrance Day contest are on the Wireless Institute's website, wia.org.au. And here's a few items from the rules that may spark your interest. Firstly, and this one is a bit up Struggle Street for some, however, from 0100 to 0600 hours local time on Sunday morning, all scores obtained by the transmitting station are tripled. The downside is that most people have gone to bed and the airwaves are pretty quiet. There's a variety of stations that you can run, from individuals to multi-operator stations. You're free to select your station type and to collect some collaborators to enjoy the weekend with you. Once you choose your station type, you have to stick to it all weekend. As always, contestants are bound by the band plans as published by the LCD, and of course, stick to your license conditions. The exchange for QSOs in this contest is the number of years that you've been in amateur radio. So if you've been in amateur radio for 25 years, every exchange would be 59025. Remember, the 25 needs to be expressed as 025. If you're going to run a multi-operator station, you'll need to decide whose call sign will be used for the station. This could be a club call sign, if you have one available. Again, the rules for the RD contest are on the WIA website, wia.org.au. Lastly, send in your logs. An extraordinary number of people who make it into other people's logs in contests don't submit the log themselves. In the recent Trans-Tasman contest, the manager was happy to have received logs from only 27% of all of the call signs that were captured in the logs. Especially with the RD contest, if you've given out numbers to anyone, please send in a log. The number of logs submitted is part of the formula to calculate the winning state. Remember, there's a competition between states, and the formula involves the number of licensed amateurs and the number of logs submitted. So there's a direct relationship between those two numbers. The more logs we get, the better our chances. Let's see if we can beat the Tasmanians. They've been at it for years now. But anyway, good luck in the RD contest.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
We've reminded you several times that next week is the RD contest. And there's one more thing that we need to remind you about, and that's because the RD contest makes it necessary for us to bring forward the deadline for receiving material for inclusion in News West. Why do we do this? The answer is simple. Our overworked, underpaid producer is throwing his helmet into the ring by entering the RD contest. And he'll be off in the bush somewhere on Friday, scaring all the animals, snakes, kangaroos, and poor old emus, making preparations for the contest station. He's one of those weirdos that likes to run a portable station in contests. News West will be compiled and published on Thursday, the 11th of August, and therefore the deadline is noon that day. In case you missed it, The deadline for items for inclusion in next weekend's NewsWest is noon, Thursday, the 11th of August. The theme for next weekend is History of Amateur Radio.
We are at a substantial disadvantage here in Western Australia when it comes to working the Australian contest because of the huge distances involved and a relatively low population of amateurs, and the majority of those are in Perth and the southwest corner of the state. When you consider that the bulk of amateurs in Australia are roughly grouped in the triangle formed between Brisbane, Melbourne and Adelaide, it's little wonder that we, being about 3,500 kilometres from the centre of that triangle, have to work hard to get a decent score. And concerning the crowd contained within the triangle, who'd blame them for working closer, louder stations? It's what they do, and furthermore, if you analyse the points scored by band and state, you'll see that a huge amount is scored on 40 metres by those in the triangle, and most of the people in that triangle are cramped in the corner between Sydney and Melbourne and goodness knows where in Victoria. The rule makers for the contests are all on the East Coast themselves and appear to have no interest in making rules to level the playing field for us, but that's something we can work on. So folks, it's up to us to level the playing field. We've heard the cry in every contest. I can hear the East Estate stations loud and clear, but they aren't answering our calls. That's because in a contest, in order to build points, you answer the louder stations first. Who wouldn't? So what is it that we can do to level the playing field? Let's see. Number one is optimise your antennas. Can you get your antennas higher? It's a rule of thumb. Height is might. And with wire antennas for HF, can you build and position the antenna for some gain? Maximise your transmitted power. Use the maximum power you have available, according to your licence, of course. And remember, using more power is only an advantage if you have a good receive antenna. So don't be an alligator, all mouth and no ears. See number one. And number four, don't give up. And lastly, spend a lot of time looking for local VK6 contacts, especially on VHF and up. There's a cheat sheet available. It was distributed via the WA Hams email list. If you can't find it, give us a shout at NewsWest and we'll send it to you. Our email address is newswest@vk6.net.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. NewsWest is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
With the Remembrance Day contest, Dallara, and a few others coming up, it's a good time to remind you that you've a few options for logging software, especially for Aussie contests. Most contests have done away with paper logs, so if you're a paper log type of person, you need to make the change. And that change could be as simple as changing over to using logging software straight away, or using the software after the contest to transcribe your log into the correct format. Still, the top of the list for Aussie and some international contests is VK Contest Logger, VKCL, which has the rules built in, giving you the time and energy to make contacts. VKCL will export your log for you in the correct format, and before it's sent off, you can check and edit the log if needed. Most logging software does have this feature. For the RD contest, there's an app called RD Logger. Have you used it? I haven't. However, some people like using it. Look it up, RD Logger. Still in development, but usable, is a new Aussie logger called YACL, yet another contest logger. This piece of software was built to be the successor of VK Contest Logger. It has a similar look and feel, but with several enhancements. You can find the download for the latest version at Doug's website, that's vk4adc.com, then vk4adc utilities. Read the page, it's interesting. Then at the bottom of the paper are links to the YACL forum and a download link. This software is built for Windows, however Phil has been experimenting with Play on Linux with some limited results. You best read his forum for more information. Are you game to give YACL a run in the RD contest? We'd like to hear from you how it went, and I'm sure Doug would as well. Lastly, we didn't mention N1MM, which is a very popular, powerful suite of utilities that amongst almost everything else does a good job of logging your contest. It's the logger of choice for many international contesters, and most serious contesters know about or use it already. VK4SN has some information about using it, along with contest configuration files at his website, vk4sn.com.
Hello everyone, this is Chris, VK3QB. Q QRM Guru and Rasa are pleased to announce that we are now offering email and limited telephone support for amateurs seeking additional assistance with their QRM and RFI problems. A service desk has been implemented using Freshdesk. This works on the same platform used by over 50,000 businesses worldwide. Our service will run as a trial until the end of 2022, when we'll review its performance and value for the amateur radio community. Before raising a ticket with QRM Guru, please ensure you've followed the process and attempted to identify and resolve your QRM problems yourself. When raising a ticket, please ensure you provide as much information as you can about your problem. So, if you could do with a bit of extra help in sorting your QRM challenges, raise a ticket by emailing us at support@qrm-guru.freshdesk.com. Again, support@qrm-guru.freshdesk.com. For more info, head to QRM Guru and check the announcements page. 73.
Those of you on the WA Hams email list would have seen a post recently with an attachment that gives a list of suggested local liaison frequencies for use during contests. The idea of this is to provide a place on each band where locals can work each other. So this is how it works every so often. In between working more distant stations, you jump onto those suggested frequencies on all those bands to see if there are any locals there to work. If you've done Aussie contests before, you can go through a whole contest sometimes without hearing locals. This is a way to bring us all together to score some more points. You should make sure not to use these frequencies for general CQ calling, but sometimes you are heard by an out-of-state station and it's okay to work them when they respond to you. It wouldn't be right to tell them to nick off. This is our private frequency or something like that. There's a copy of the list available on the VK6.net website on the contests page. Print it out and keep it near your station for reference. While we're talking about printing out stuff, are you working the RD in a group using another call sign that's not your usual one? Print out the call sign in large letters and place it in full view of the operating position. You'll be surprised at how often you have to look at it. Now, Roy has been feeling a bit neglected recently with a lack of business for the amateur radio helpline. I don't blame him for feeling unloved. It turned out that it wasn't WA Amateurs who didn't love him. It was his email inbox. Yep, Roy's email had a medical episode, and hopefully he'll soon have it sorted so that contributors' emails aren't being rejected. So if you've been a victim of Roy's savage email inbox, please don't be wounded and send your stuff to Roy for inclusion. Roy gives his phone number to us on the helpline, so if the email is still pouting and playing you up, send him a text. So how did you go in the storms? My 80-metre loop let go on one corner some weeks ago, and the remains of the halyard caught in a notch high up in the Jarrah tree, and I've been waiting for it to give in and fall completely so that it can be put back up there. The storms during the week did the trick for me, and hopefully by now I'll have it back up to its full height again, instead of being draped in the crowns of two smaller trees. Mind you, it worked very well in the crowns of those small trees. I'm a bit worried about putting it back up in the air. We'll see.
Since 1931, Amateur Radio News has been broadcast in Western Australia. News West is brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News. On air, online and on demand. This is VK6 ARN and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
It's important for us to know and understand our history. It's important to know about the history of our society, our community, and, for us, our hobby. Next week, News West takes a walk down memory lane and brings you some stories from the yesteryear of amateur radio in Australia. We rely on the Trove website resource of the National Library and the scanned amateur radio magazines on the VK6UU website. However, there's another important resource, and that's you. What's locked away in your memory? Do you know an older amateur whose memories could be written down or recorded? Don't think that history is something that's written down by someone else. It could be written down by you. After you've done all that, we'd encourage you to share your story with the amateur community by sending it to us as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net.
Something a lot of West Aussies find problematic when attempting to work Australian contests is antennas. And why is it so? Well, during the day, you're probably doing okay in HF, working on 40 metres and up, depending on conditions, of course. When the sun goes down, you may still be able to work 40 metres. However, most of the HF action goes to 80 metres and to some extent 160 metres. As the useful frequencies get lower, many people living on small urban plots start to run out of space for effective antennas for those frequencies, putting them at some disadvantage. Now, there's always a way to overcome the antenna space thing. Go portable. Whether you go camping or caravanning, rent a house in the country or borrow someone's shed on a farm, portable operation gives you the space to sling up portable antennas. And depending on which skyhooks, otherwise known as trees, are available, you can erect effective portable antennas. Some people take their own props, bits of masting, squid poles, etc. Now, if you only had one tree or one skyhook, assuming it's high enough, you could hoist a dipole up as a sloper. Or if there's a nice branch sticking out up high, you could just shape your dipole as an inverted V. With two or more trees, you're in antenna hoisting heaven. I can hear you thinking that he's an idiot. How can he get a rope over a tall tree? Well, there's several ways to do it. And a very effective method that I employ is a fishing rod with a snapper sinker attached to the line. Cast it over the tree, attach a light quarter rope to the line and reel it back over the tree. You now have a halyard for your antenna. Some people use other methods involving a bow and arrow or an arborist's throw bag, which is a small cloth bag with an amount of lead shot in it, attached to a light line and thrown by hand, and some use more dire methods that we won't describe here. My preferred dipole style antenna is a doublet, which is a dipole fed with a ladder line, and it can be frequency agile. A popular style of doublet is the G5RV. There are other styles and types of wire antennas you can use, and working from a portable site gives you space to experiment. With regard to VHF and up, I use a tri-band vertical. You might want to play with Yagis if you want. It's up to you. Whatever you use, bear in mind that a large portion of our scores here in Western Australia when working Aussie contests are earned on 2 metres and up. So maybe you need to invest some time in those bands. Other important decisions to make if you're working portable are power, food, somewhere to sleep comfortably if you're staying overnight, and of course, something to drink. In next week's RD contest, if you're working portable, it's okay to use an existing 240 volt power source. You're not restricted to portable or mobile power sources. Good luck with your portable station, whether it's in the park, over the road, or in some more remote location. But remember this, your first goal is to enjoy yourself. If you stop enjoying it, revise what you're doing.
This is NewsWest from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Good morning. It's that time again, helpline time for the 7th of August 2022. Have an item here for sale from Gerard, VK6 Quebec Mike. Has a large roll of PV-coated hard-drawn 2mm diameter copper wire, asking $150. There's enough there to make 3 lengths of 160-meter dipoles, plus wire does not stretch. The wire does not stretch at all. It's already hard-drawn copper, so it's good for long antennas. It also has a Bushcom BBA-100CS, Bravo Alpha 100 Charlie Sierra with 30 meter plus coax cable, $100 for that. There's a Zulu Sierra 6 Bravo Kilo Whiskey G5RV optimized with 1-to-1 ballon plus 30 meters of coaxial cable, near new, $100 for that. There's a Cushcraft Ringo Ranger 2 antenna model ARX 2 Bravo. That's an Alpha Romeo X-ray 2 Bravo at $85 for that. All coax can come with fittings and price negotiable. All inquiries to Gerard, his call sign and his email is vk6quebecmike@westnet.com.au. I'll say again more slowly, Victor Kilo 6 Quebec Mike at Whiskey Echo Sierra Tango November Echo Tango.com.au. That's westnet.com.au. Thank you, Gerard, and good luck with that. If anyone is interested, please give me an email. And it's early close-off next week, so if you're in need of any help from me next week, have it in to me by 7 a.m. Thursday next. Get in now, get in early, and put pen or finger to typewriter, finger to keyboard at least, and send me an email now. vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com is the only address. VictorKilo6xrayVictor@bigpond.com. I have been having some trouble with my email, people not getting through, unfortunately, and I'm trying to rectify that now, but apparently my email is over quota and is full up and rejecting incoming calls. So please try again or give me a call on the phone. 0427 000 995 is the phone number, 0427 000 995, if you can't get through on the email. And thanks to Eddie VK6ZSE for the heads up on that. 73 from Roy VK6XV.
Reminding you again that next week we have an early deadline for contributions to News West. It's noon Thursday instead of Friday. Noon Thursday for contributions to News West, because I'll be compiling the news on Thursday afternoon to make way for my RD contest preparations on Friday. Thanks to everyone involved in making, reporting and broadcasting News West for this weekend. I hope to work many of you in the RD contest next weekend, when lots of us will get on air and make some noise.